My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Guys, welcome to TFL Talking Trucks. As always, I'm Andrei Smirnov.
And I'm Roman Micah.
What?
I'm Nathan Adlin. I thought about wearing a wig today. I thought it'd be really funny, but apparently that didn't go over well, so.
Wow. Well, so on this episode, dude, I want to talk about a few things. So I want to talk about what we're driving this week.
Right.
Because we have a Toyota Tacoma, TRD Off-Road, and also the brand new Nissan Armada.
So there are multi-topics going on here.
Yes.
A ton of them.
Yes.
Okay.
But also, we're in the midst, dude. We are up to our elbows in Cheap Truck Challenge, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's for our series, No Payment Needed to Hell and Back.
Yes. No payments needed because we bought cheap trucks.
Yeah, they're really cheap.
Yeah. And so I want to kind of talk about, you know, what we're doing because that series is launching on TFL Truck YouTube channel and website within about a week.
Yeah, so by the time you guys hear this, it'll be just a few days.
Yeah, so that's going to be really, really cool. And also some news.
All right.
Because, you know, like Ford dropped a little bit of news on us this week, so.
I'm looking forward to this whole thing.
All right, so let's do this. So you and I, actually, you had a little bit of time in this truck too. The brand new 2021 TRD Off-Road Tacoma.
All right, let's cover the good and then the bad.
Yeah,
or you want to go the bad and then the good?
No, let's go good because it's a very unique truck because this year Toyota is actually offering from the factory a lift, a suspension lift.
Yeah, no, it's partially a leveling lift as well, right?
Correct. And so, you know, why is this a big deal? Well, so the TRD Pro, which is the top of the line Tacoma, right, already has a small lift on Fox shocks.
Right.
So I'm like, what's the big whoop, right? But this is more affordable. So, and you can get it on the TRD Off-Road models, which are less expensive than
a lot less expensive, yeah.
And this kit is actually not Fox. It's Bilstein.
No, I drove it.
Yes.
And you did too.
Yes.
I got to say that at least driving it on the streets, it felt just like a stock suspension. I believe it's like $1,400 and change.
$1,450.
Yeah. And it's dealer installed though, right? It's not a factory lift.
Correct. Okay. But you do check the box. So when you're building, for example, if you go to Toyota's website and you're building your truck, and by the way, it's not available in every configuration, so you have to be kind of careful. I'll let you know about this in a second. You can actually select a box that says TRD Performance Suspension System, 1450. Click. And by the time you pick it up at the dealer, it's going to be on there. Because, you know, dealer's going to take care of it.
Right, dealer's going to take care of it in most cases. Not every single dealership is able to put in a suspension, I would imagine.
There you go, yeah. But it's cool. So so how did you think? You said it rides about like normal, which is great.
Yeah, you know what? It's I gotta say, I expected two things. I expected either a pillowy ride that was a little too wishy-washy around corners. It didn't do that. And I was also expecting to have a different horizon, so to speak, when I'm looking out in terms of view.
Yeah.
You know, feeling lifted. It didn't feel like that either. Honestly, I had to remind myself that I was in a lifted truck. And the only reason I knew right off the bat that it was because I had to lift my butt another, you know, inch and a half higher to get into the truck. It's a weird thing getting into a Toyota Tacoma when you're built like me, or Andre for that matter.
That you're taking the butt dyno to the whole next level.
But am I right?
Yeah.
You kind of have to lift your butt up, get it in there, and then swing your legs, and it's kind of like the reverse of getting into a sports car. It's weird.
Anyway, well, I didn't quite notice that, but I did notice that the Tacoma has still like kind of this low roof
situation. It does have the, and that's the thing. You have to duck as you get in.
Yeah.
You know, no matter
so,
what.
So you're almost folding yourself a little bit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you have to fold, and that's why I put my butt in first.
Anyway, but you know how, you know, you can go to the aftermarket, right? Mm-hmm. And you can find a number of different suspension lifts, right? We are friends at Toy Tech here in Colorado. They actually have some high quality stuff too.
Yeah, but their stuff is, I mean, that's another level, dude.
Yeah, we're not talking about $1,400. I mean, they have some more affordable systems.
Right.
But you can go to several thousand dollars, you know, with height adjustments and shocks with piggyback reservoirs and etc. But this is a factory system, and the reason I like it, first of all,
You took it off-road.
Yes, I did. And the video is coming to TFL Off-Road channel very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, well, first of all, it's part of your warranty. I mean, it comes
that's the cool part, is that it's a warrantied component.
Yeah. And also, if you're financing your truck, you can also roll it into your financing.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. But also, it rides, it feels like holistic, right? It feels like it's part of the truck. It's not, doesn't feel like an add-on.
That's what I was saying too. Just in terms, usually you can tell when you're driving on the streets more so than going off-road, because a lot of these lifts are built for off-roading, but then you really feel it on the street because it leans too much and it doesn't behave the way it normally does. Mm-hmm. I hit the brakes hard and it didn't feel like it was leaning forward too much. When I accelerated hard, it didn't feel like it was leaning back too much. You know what I mean? It's all those things that an aftermarket lift often does to your truck. It changes the balance, and this one didn't change the balance.
Yeah, which is an awesome thing. And of course, that has to be because Bilstein worked with Toyota closely.
Mm-hmm.
The shocks actually say TRD tuned. So, you know, the guys who built or designed the truck and engineer it work together, right?
Or
so,
at least, you know, the printer put out TRD tuned and then they typed it.
The printer was very precise.
No. But the question here is, do you know if they're going to put it on the 4Runner?
I don't know this. I imagine it's a different it's a different vehicle. So
it is a different vehicle, but I'm curious if there's a similar type of lift for it.
Yeah, so here's the other thing. You cannot get this with a 4Banger.
Okay.
So if you're getting a Toyota Tacoma with a 2.7, which is still available,
right?
You cannot get this lift.
Okay.
You can get it in an access cab, you know, so the short cab, longer wheel, longer bed, you can. And you can get it the way we had it, with a crew cab short bed.
Right.
But if you want the extended wheelbase, this is a crew cab truck they call double cab.
Right.
With a long bed, you cannot.
Oh, okay. I wonder why.
I think it has to do with tuning, because I think they tune it for that wheelbase, for that specific wheelbase.
So the crew cab with the short bed is around the same wheelbase as the King cab or whatever they're
called. Access cab.
Yeah. King cab's Nissan. But they're still roughly about the same length. So perhaps, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like, and they tuned it for the weight of the V6.
Right.
So the four cylinder is a little bit less weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like that's what they, and that's the majority of what they sell, actually.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, the crew cabs are very popular. Okay, cool. Well, you know, I'm glad, and I didn't get to go with Andre on the shoot for the off-road video, but when he came back, I love it when Andre gets out of a really muddy, muddy vehicle because he has the satisfied look on his face.
And it was there's snow melt.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mud and water.
Yeah, and a lot of loose traction sections and all that. And we won't disclose how it did, but I know that the smile on his face sort of was indicative of someone very happy with the vehicle.
So I did take it, of course, you know, you'll have to watch the video on the off-road channel.
Like.
But I did take it to Ironclad's Trail, which is one of our favorites here in near Boulder, Colorado. And so first of all, there are a lot more side-by-sides there now than ever was before.
Yeah, people discovered it.
Well, Well, sorry. I think that's partially our fault.
Yeah, it might be.
But also, I mean, they rent side-by-sides there. Mm-hmm. There's a different company that's renting them there. But when I was coming up to one of the obstacles, there were like three Can-Ams, I think. They were Mavericks, mm-hmm. right? And like the guys lined them up, you know, by the obstacle as if it was a stadium. And they were sitting there with their arms crossed, and they're just watching me. And I felt like under pressure.
I hate that. I hate that.
Well, actually, yeah. But actually, they were kind of cool guys. I mean, so I went over the obstacle, and they're like, "So, is there anybody with you?" I'm like, "No, I'm just filming this truck."
Did you tell them you're married?
No.
Okay.
But no, they wanted to know if there was another vehicle coming.
Oh, right.
And I said, "No, I'm filming the Tacoma." They're like, "So who's going to pull you out when you get stuck?" I'm like, I'm not going to get stuck. Well, anyway, but I felt under pressure because it was like an audience just waiting there for me.
Yeah, and also you bring up a good point. Usually when we do these shoots, we usually have a second vehicle.
Absolutely, because there's a camera truck usually with us. And I did feel, of course, a bit under-equipped, I guess, because I didn't have the second truck.
Yeah.
But I've driven that trail.
With a Tacoma before.
And other trucks about 20, 30 times.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I knew exactly what I wanted, the obstacles I wanted to hit. It was like a checkbox. You know, I was checking my boxes as I was going through.
And before we move on to another topic, I wanted to mention that one of the things we have to do when we're filming is we have to hit some of the harder obstacles because on camera, a relatively difficult obstacle doesn't look that difficult on camera. It's most people are like, oh, I could do that with my Honda Civic. So we have to hit like the really hard ones. And, you know, really push the envelope, so to speak, between being, you know, a little reckless and, you know, getting good footage. So that's one of the issues. But fortunately, Andre has done that trail several times in several different vehicles, including, if I recall, a couple different Toyotas.
Yeah, we had a TRD Pro recently.
Yeah, the
remember
manual.
We did the comparison. You were in the 4Runner.
Yeah.
I was in the Tacoma.
Right.
And I think we had several Tacomas up there.
Yeah, we've had several Tacomas up
several.
There. So
it, and recently, of course, the TRX was there.
But that's a different story. The TRX, you know, snorts hard rocks and
smash.
Everything else. You know, I was smash and destroy and sneeze. Yeah. Yeah, that thing is just ridiculous. Let's move on to the other vehicle we have in our fleet, though, which is the brand new Nissan Armada.
Yeah, this is the 2021, and for 2021 model year, they refreshed it, redesigned it.
Yeah.
The face looks completely new. It has new LED signature lights.
Tail looks different, too.
Yeah, if you guys are watching this, actually, I have an image of it behind me here in the studio.
I actually kind of like it. I think it looks way better than the previous model.
Yeah, I think, because the previous model had a little bit more curves in the front.
It looked a little rounder.
Yeah, this is more hard edges, right?
Well, it looks a lot like the upcoming Frontier in terms of design.
Definitely that's family, part of it. Family resemblance.
Exactly, yeah. Which I like.
Yeah. So this is the color we have.
Oh, okay.
I cannot pronounce that red. It's a red color. But you know how they have fancy names for all the colors?
Uh-huh.
I can't pronounce that.
It's like a Bruges La La or something like that.
It's
like
no, it starts word. With a C. It's like Cossy Red. I'm sorry.
Cadmium?
I'm not that in tune with design to be able to.
That is okay. That's all right. Let's just call it what it is, which is red. And
which is a good red, actually.
It's actually, yeah, it is. You know, it's a funny thing. Red is one of those colors that kind of turns me off with a lot of cars. But when it looks good on a vehicle, it's one of those things where, like, okay, that must be a good-looking vehicle. Now, there are a couple things that I do have issues with in terms of design. The main one is that a lot of these Armadas have painted wheels, and I've always had an issue with painted wheels on SUVs. They may look good, but if you even think about taking them off-road, you are most likely going to damage them. And just, it's a visual thing, right? So it's just a personal issue.
Yeah, so I was kind of excited because we had I believe it was a black Armada a few months back.
Right when it came out. It was actually before the official release that we got it, which is really nice of Nissan.
Thanks to Nissan. You know, we often, you know, we work with all manufacturers, but we often, when a new vehicle comes out, we sometimes get like an early taste
of it. During COVID, that was one of the things. We couldn't go to an event, so they brought it to us, which worked out fantastic. And we got to take it off-road into some snow and whatnot. This one, we're going to do a few things with, too, right?
Yeah, totally. And this one, we have to say, this is the Platinum Edition.
So it's the very top of the line.
So, I didn't Well, first of all, sometimes when we get these vehicles, sometimes we're not sure which trim level you know is coming. But when I went outside and I saw it, first of all, it has every feature, every option. And part of what you're saying is it has 22s. Painted very luxurious, very nice wheels, and low-profile tires. So I'm like, we have taken very luxurious vehicles off-road before, so I wasn't too nervous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is kind of a boulevard cruiser in a way.
It really is. And you know what the funny thing is that this, the Armada and its cousin, the Infiniti, the was it the 80, the QX?
Yep.
Or Q or whatever they're calling it now. Both those vehicles sell extremely well in Southern California, meaning that people who never go off-road and never really need four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive are driving these beasts all over the place, which I guess is good for Nissan. They make really good tow vehicles, by the way. We've driven several of these. And the thing is that under the hood and transmission and engine are the same as the previous generation, right?
Well, they tweaked it.
There is a tweak.
They made a few tweaks to it.
Okay.
And this is really a vehicle, to your point, first of all, it seats 7 or 8 comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very large SUV. It's basically
like a Tahoe.
Tahoe competitor, right?
Right.
And then it can tow about 8,500 pounds.
Which is
pretty good. Actually more than some Tahoes.
Yeah.
Or more than most Tahoes actually can do. The only vehicle in this class that can tow more is the Expedition from Ford, with
which
a maximum
over 9,000.
It's like 9,300 or 9,100 for a four-wheel drive, right?
Uh-huh.
So tows a lot. So if you want to bring a large boat with your family somewhere, you can. This is the vehicle to do it.
Right.
Really. Are you going to be bashing it off-road? Probably not, because it doesn't have really big skid plates. You know, it doesn't have steel bumpers. So they don't have a Pro 4X version of this. They should, I think.
That. Oh, I agree really 100%. Should. Well, see, this is based, as many of you know, on the Patrol. The Nissan Patrol is right up there with the Toyota Land Cruiser, right?
It's world renowned.
I mean, the UN uses them sometimes. I mean, they are really tough, proper trucks. And this is based on that. And it has some components from the old Titan that are on there as well. So you would think that this thing is really beefy underneath. And it's fairly beefy for basic off-roading and for basic stuff. But in terms of, you know, a locking rear diff, it doesn't have armor underneath. It doesn't have proper armor. And it needs a lift. If they did those three things and made this into a Pro 4X version, holy cow, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be almost like a more of a Land Cruiser competitor. Even though Land Cruiser is going away from the United States.
Exactly. So they almost own the market. And on top of all that, this vehicle, in general, if you look at the base model, I did this story on this a little while ago, actually undercuts almost all the competition for almost all their trim levels in comparison with the competition. So a Nissan Armada is actually a bit of a bargain.
It is. And we talked about it's fully optioned.
Yeah.
$71,000. It sounds like it is a lot of money.
But when
you load up a Tahoe, I did this yesterday.
Uh-huh.
When you load up a Tahoe with every feature, high country, you know, big V8 like this,
right?
Like this, that was 81 grand.
Now,
so 10,000 more.
I agree. Was that with the diesel or is it the regular?
There was a 6.2 V8.
Okay.
The big V8, like the Armada has.
Okay, so that's which that's a pretty fair comparison then. So there you go. It is a real bargain. It drives great. It's a creamy driving vehicle.
Oh my God!
And I love using the word creamy because some of you guys cringe, but it really is just smooth and.
Well, it's got independent suspension. Another thing.
It does, but it's not like crazy like GM, you know, where it's super boosted with the airbags and all that stuff. The thing is that you recently drove this one, and you noticed that the transmission was behaving differently.
Yeah, well, first of all, you mentioned the engine, 5.6 liter.
Right.
On premium fuel, 400 horse. So it is very, very beefy.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to use premium fuel because it's kind of expensive,
right?
390 horsepower.
If you're paying $71,000, you better be using premium fuel.
Yeah, because you know it's you've arrived. Right?
You've arrived. You might as well have maximum horsepower.
You have arrived. And then the 7-speed. So the new Titan has a 9-speed now.
That's right. Actually, so does the Frontier.
Correct. That's coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
The 2022 Frontier. This does not. They kind of kept the 7-speed. And at first, I was like, oh. Right.
Yeah, me too.
So, but then I just drove it home, and I wasn't towing. And, you know, I wasn't heavily loaded. I was in regular mode. By the way, automatic all-wheel drive, so it's always searching. You know, very clever system.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going coming up this down little hill towards a stoplight, I applied my brake gently, and the transmission downshifted nicely, as if it was giving me great braking. which sometimes some of the older transmissions weren't so good at.
Right.
So I felt like they've tweaked a lot of it.
Was it hunting for gears? Because that's something that the old transmission did way too often.
No. Well, I was lightly loaded.
Yeah, okay.
So I wasn't heavy loaded. But you know how quiet it is?
Yeah.
How nice insulated
it's
it
serene.
Is? So it actually felt really good.
I don't have a problem with the Armada. I still think it's a really well screwed together vehicle. I think that a lot of people overlook it, and they shouldn't, when they're looking at much more expensive vehicles, including its brother, the Infiniti. This is just as good. The infotainment screen on this thing is massive. It's one of the biggest in the business. It's like over 12 inches wide.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very different.
Updated interior. Completely.
Yeah, it's completely updated interior. I really think they did an excellent job. This was a little bit more than a regular refresh, right? This is a step above that. So great vehicle in general. I still kind of wish they had the 9-speed in there because that is their high-tech new transmission, but I think it's a packaging issue, to be honest with you. They didn't straight out say that, but I think it might be. And we're probably not going to get a next-generation Armada for a couple more years, I'd imagine.
Unlikely.
Unlikely.
I would agree. I want to switch gears a little bit.
Oh, see what you did there?
Talking
transmissions.
I want to switch gears to Moab. Our favorite place in the world.
That was a hell of a trip we just did.
Yeah. So at the top of the show, we mentioned Cheap Truck Challenge. So if you've been following, of course, you know that we bought a 98 Chevy K1500 truck.
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne. We bought a 2001 Dodge Ram 1500.
Yeah. Sport 4x4.
Yes. Off-road edition.
Off-road edition.
And also 2004 Ford F-150.
Stinky edition.
Stinky Edition XL base.
XL, four-wheel model, drive.
Four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And Cheap Truck Challenge, we want to, you know, get them. We're partnered with RealTruck.com.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, RealTruck, for supporting us.
Yeah,
on this.
Great.
And we used RealTruck.com accessories and parts because you can get anything, including tires. Tires, lifts, accessories, winches, tonneau covers. So we've updated these trucks.
Yeah.
And the point is, we don't want to give everything away, right? But the point is, we want to go to Hell's Revenge in Moab, which we just completed.
And drive back.
And drive back, and also do a challenge here back in Colorado.
So the bottom line here is that we have, I believe, was it four episodes?
Four total.
Four total episodes.
We haven't published any of these major episodes.
No, but the first one's coming really soon.
Yeah, in about a week, once again.
Right.
The first episode drops, which is kind of us talking about what we bought, doing a bit of drag racing.
And other stuff on top of it.
And climbing mountains.
Right. Now, keep in mind, these are not short little 8-minute, 10-minute vignettes. This is an over 20-minute video, I believe.
Yes.
And all of these are going to be fairly long videos. So you're going to have to, you know, fire up your coffee and grab your bagel because you're going to be sitting there for a little while. But the good news is they're highly entertaining. And the cool thing is, this is my favorite thing to do because you guys have mentioned before, and I agree with you that, you know, we're driving trucks that are between $50,000 and $90,000 on average.
Often new trucks.
Yeah. Often brand new trucks, right? Doing various things, or we even buy really expensive ones. And we try to cover the whole gamut, right? There's a huge unserved group of people out there and they buy used trucks because that's what they can afford. I'm right there with you. And being able to buy in cash a truck that you don't have to make payments on, hence the name, no payment needed. As a matter of fact, if I cover one of the things on this shirt, I could almost make that payment.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty good, right? So, you know, we bought these things for $5,000 was our limit, which I almost exceeded. And we were able to get these things between, I think that one's the cheapest, the Chevrolet.
$3,200.
The Ford was 40, no, 30,
37.
37. And the Ram was, Dodge Ram 5, was $5,000.
Yeah.
And then we had about $1,500 to play with Real Truck. And that was the stuff, the accessories. And they all needed something in order to handle off-roading, right?
Oh, yeah. The tires were bad. Most of the tires were shot.
Yeah, the Chevy and the Ford needed new tires, and they could use a lift. The cool thing about the Dodge was it came with the 4x4 package already, so it had a limited slip diff. It already had good tires. It had a good lift and some armor. So that's why I was cool with having that extra money spent on it, because I didn't need the lift and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
right? So, you know, this is for you guys out there who are like, God, I can't afford a $50,000, $60,000 truck. I need to get a used one for cash for $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. Well, guess what? We did that, and we accessorized them. And in some ways, they were awesome in terms of mine because
and I can had see a pirate's flag, yeah, actually.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked out well. And then, you know, Andre used a racing stripe and a skull because he's morbid and you have issues. Well, but no, it's cool that racing stripe getting, added horsepower.
Well, I was getting into the Western theme. you know, I had my cowboy boots on. Yeah. I had my belt buckle on.
You are the most cowboy guy I know. No, seriously,
that's
you
scary,
are.
Actually.
Yeah, you and Mr. Truck, seriously, two peas in a pod. Roman, his theme was Roman.
Like a soldier.
No, he wasn't a soldier.
Well, he could kill it was Broman.
Oh, he was a Broman. Well, his truck is kind of a bro truck now.
Kind of a bro truck because he's rolling on 20s.
So the first episode is going to cover the trucks. Now, a lot of you guys have already seen these trucks. We've done some smaller episodes about them, both on TFLtruck.com, TFLoffroad.com, and on TFLnow.com.
And Classics.
And Classics.
Because Mr. Truck saw them and reviewed them.
So we just haven't managed to put it on TFL bike yet.
Oh, boy. Well, what if we put a motorcycle inside of one?
You know, I think we talked about that.
And then we can show it.
So you've seen them around, but this is the video you guys are going to see, the first episode, is actually shortly after they were acquired and we brought them together.
Yes, and then the second episode is us kind of building them up.
Oh, yeah.
And also taking it to our favorite mechanic, Toby.
Toby's the man.
Who's amazing. And, you know, he usually works on some German vehicles, but he's such a good mechanic in general that he was able to help us and put these trucks on a lift and actually tell us exactly what was wrong.
Yeah, he laughed more than once at some of the issues.
I would say he was rolling on the floor.
He's like, just, really? You guys
really?
Didn't
you bought these pieces of, you know what?
But, you know, with that being said, we don't want to give too much away. There are some funny parts to it. But there's also, some of you guys are really dialed into the fact that some of these vehicles are known for having, you know, not a lot of power, or perhaps their transmissions were not that strong, or or maybe they had coolant issue. You know, all these things, and you're going to see a lot of that addressed in this next episode, in the second episode.
Yeah, totally. And then the third episode, we kind of previewed just a tiny, tiny bit on Off-Road Channel, where we actually took them to Moab. First of all, we drove them there.
Yeah.
These are not trailer queens.
No, we drove them from Boulder to Moab, so that was about 400 miles, right?
Yeah, through the mountains, in the snow, well, partially in the snow.
My God,
that was... And of course, took them on Hell's Revenge, took them on another trail. Mm-hmm. And then on the way back, we're like, you know what? Let's make it home. It's going to be, you know, 5.5 hours on the way back.
Yeah.
It turned out to be 20 hours, actually.
Yeah. Long story short, we had a major snowstorm hit the mountains, and that's nothing new. We're used to it.
And this is April.
This is April, but we've had them in June.
Yeah, totally.
The thing is that, you know, going over the pass, you're at high elevation, and snow tends to happen. Okay, that's cool. And sometimes accidents happen. All right, so that's what happened. There's a big accident on I-70.
And several semi-trucks jacked up.
It was really bad, right? And it was in two different sections, and it was, like, all closed. And so Andre and I both wanted to get home. Roman's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'll hang back and get some dinner and relax, and we should have listened to him. Because Andre and I went this other path.
We went around through Breckenridge, if you know Colorado.
Yeah, and through South Park.
South Park, Colorado.
Yep.
Fair Play, Colorado.
Yeah.
And we were almost home.
It was like so clear, and he and I were doing victory dances. We had radios, and you know, it's dark, and these things are old used trucks that have already been beaten up. So as we're going up and over the hill, all of a sudden, all traffic stops.
Another jackknifed semi.
Major accident.
And they weren't so. Oh, and on top of this, this is Kenosha Pass, by the way. This is one area where there is no reception.
Right when our phones drop out, all of a sudden traffic stops.
Yeah, and there's people behind us. There's snow, ice. Man.
So we sat there for well over an hour without moving an inch. And finally,
I started walking, asking people questions. No, actually, the truckers didn't know much because I was expecting semi-truckers with CB radios.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, we don't have any radios. So I'm like, really?
What the hell? What happened to CBs?
Yeah, they're like, oh, my cell phone doesn't work. I'm like, dude, you gotta have a radio.
Yeah, seriously.
So anyway, and I, of course, we should have had a CB or at least a satellite phone.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, especially with old used trucks, we should have thought of this.
Anyway, we turned around. I was running low on fuel. Remember?
Yeah, you had a quarter of a tank when we were in traffic.
So thankfully, we found an open station just to get fuel and then get back. So
yeah,
it turned out to be an ordeal.
Yeah.
But these trucks just took a beating and kept on ticking.
When we were on our way back, coming back to the place, our origin, so to speak, we hit horrible ice and snow. It was terribly slippery. It was some of the worst that I'd seen in terms of low temperature. It was sticking to tires. It was bad. And these trucks did it. They were solid. They were reliable. My heater worked. Your heater worked, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I was really impressed. I felt comfortable. And this is after we beat the crap out of them, which you'll see. I mean, we really hammered them. They hit hard sometimes. I don't want to get into too many details. Although, if you do watch our behind-the-scenes video, which is on TFL Off-Road, right? That's just a small taste of some of the hammering. Small taste of the hammering these trucks took.
Yeah, totally. And, of course, the final episode, we're actually going to be doing soon.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to take it to our friend's property, David Morrow, in up north in Fort Collins, or above Fort Collins, I guess. And we're going to put it on the ranch.
Yeah, but we don't want to give too much away about what we're doing.
Yeah, right? And going to really beat him up.
Yeah, we're
going.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
We're going
to
once again.
So it's to hell and back, and this is the back.
Yeah, this is the Yak here. Back.
Yak Ranch.
It is a Yak Ranch.
So there you have it. So that's really exciting. It's coming up in about a week. We're going to start kick it off with all the episodes. So I want to wrap up this episode with this piece of news because I think it's fairly significant.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. Go for it.
Yeah. So Ford dropped a piece of news on us this week, basically saying this summer, starting in June, you could order this option on a brand new F-150 truck, which is a 2021 model still.
Mm-hmm.
Which calls they call it onboard scales and smart hitch. These are two items which basically has your truck basically estimate and give you an idea about how much weight you're carrying. Which, dude,
how awesome is that? And what gets me is that you just bought a 2021 and you don't get this.
Oh, did you have to bring in this?
Well, I know you're a gizmo freak.
So, yeah.
Will they do a software update though for you?
No. And I specifically emailed, I contacted Ford.
I knew you would.
I said, guys, I happen to be an owner of an F-150
because
I bought an XL, as you know, which is a hybrid.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm sorry, because you need hardware. So it's not just a software update.
Yeah.
So, and I'm thinking, I was reading between the lines when I was reading this press release and doing my news video, right?
Right.
They're basically using height sensors. I don't know exactly how many height sensors they have. Maybe one, two in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the front too. They didn't tell me. But basically height sensors to estimate how much the truck is squatting in real time.
Okay.
And then using the, obviously it's a piece of software in the screen or on your phone, in your app actually, which is, how awesome is that? It will show you if you're over payload, how much, you know, also how much tongue weight you have on your hitch, which is really important for safety, right? But you need the sensors, the height sensors, you need, for some reason, they want you to have special taillights that have four blinking lights to tell you, like, gradations. Like, one light is 25% loaded, two lights is 50% loaded, like a little indicator.
That's really cool.
But then they want you to buy those taillights, too.
Isn't that part of the package?
Yes.
Okay.
So since my truck doesn't have those taillights, my truck does not have height sensors on it.
Okay.
They're like, sorry, you can't really have this feature.
No supro you.
Although my truck has over-the-air updates, right?
Right.
It's still pretty, pretty interesting and cool.
Oh, no, I know. And I know you feel defeated at the same time. So, you know, what we can do, I suppose, is we can put some flashlights on the back of your truck, and I'll turn them on every time you load more and more stuff on there. So, like, we'll line them up and I'll tape them on.
We can do, like, Morse code. Like, you can tap on the table and to let me know what's going on.
We could call that a hardware update, having a human being actually tap on the table and tell you exactly what's happening with your load. But what the cool thing is here is that there's a lot of people out there who overload their trucks all the time.
And especially sometimes unknowingly.
Well, of course. Yeah. You know, often it happens when they're camping and they don't do it very often, so they put too much gear inside their bed, and then they tow something, and they're way over, and they don't even realize it. So this is a way that will help people who really don't quite understand, you know, the math behind it. It's just a simple thing saying, okay, you're overloaded, you're underloaded, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's great because I've been to the truck stop way too many times trying to weigh the truck and make sure the weight is distributed properly. So this will help with that.
You've done it like 1,000 times.
Well, yeah. I mean, I enjoy being at the truck stop, but still, it's kind of a hassle.
You like going, hanging out in the parking lot and just walking.
Well, I don't hang out too much. Mm-hmm. But it's still a hassle to go to the truck stop, find it, weigh it, you know, come back and do it over again. So this is cool. This is $650. So when you check that
option, I would buy that, absolutely.
So when you and I was reading between the lines, you know who else has height sensors? The new Raptor. So the new Raptor has to have height sensors on the suspension because it has a live shocks.
Oh, okay,
and, live valve. And some, you know, oftentimes, you know, it kind of measures the attitude that the truck has, and also measures, like, sometimes if you do a small jump or something, the wheels droop down all the way. So the height sensor tells the shocks, stiffen up right now.
Right.
Or soften up, right? So why not reuse that technology and put it in a regular truck, which is, you can get it in XL-based truck and up, right? And actually use that for something else, like payload.
Now, here's another question. Is it available on the heavy-duty trucks?
No, they never talked about Super Duties.
Okay, so this is the F-150.
This is specifically F-150, but there's nothing really stopping them from doing it on a Super Duty.
Right.
Which hauls more often, probably.
That's why I was heavier. Wondering. So, you know what? Maybe they're just building up a beefier version of it or whatever to handle higher weights or whatever. So, the bottom line here is that using your phone, right here, here's a phone, I can get, there's an app that goes with it.
Fort Pass. Yeah, right. It's called Fort Pass.
And I go and throw a bunch of stuff in the back of my truck, and I can look and go, okay, I've already...
I'm at 75%.
75%.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, now I know I can hook up a trailer if it weighs X amount, and, you know, the tongue weights X amount, and then do that. I think that that's fantastic. I really do. That is some cool tech, and I'm willing to bet that it's going to be copied.
I think so, because it's not very hard to do, because a lot of trucks have height sensors. You know, the air suspension on the Ram, height sensors.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
It's automatic, too, because it gets you back to certain levels.
Yeah, well, I guess self-leveling is another thing,
right?
Which F-150 does not currently offer.
No, they don't have an airbag suspension.
Correct, but you know what else happens with self-leveling?
Mm.
You don't know how much weight you have. Because the truck is always level.
Right, because it's always level. So you can't even, like, look at it, you know, and then adjust and your...
Eyeball it.
Yeah, right. Eyeball it and go, yeah, it's sagging pretty much. I think I'm overweight or whatever.
So this feature could be helpful on any of those trucks, right?
I think that's real. It's such a great idea. I mean, I'm not in love with all the ideas that Ford came up with the new F-150. For instance, the gear lever that disappears. I know some of you guys are like, oh, that's awesome. I'm a little iffy about that because what if it doesn't want to come back up? Then you cannot shift it into gear. I just have an issue with the electronic. It's just unnecessary, right, in my mind. But in terms of this type of smart, logical, simple tech, this totally makes sense. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, and also the piece that we did not discuss, they also are going to offer continuously controlled dampers, which is fancy shocks on the F-150. But that's, I think, another story. I wanted to focus on this weight part.
Right, right, right.
Because it's kind of useful. And yes, you still have to enter a few pieces of information, like how much your trailer might weigh. So you need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know that, I mean, the truck cannot do magic, right? It cannot weigh your trailer all of a sudden.
You really should know the weight of your trailer.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that shouldn't even be an issue.
Even if you ask your RV dealer or you weigh it.
And most, if it's a travel trailer or whatever, then it should have a label on there, and then you can estimate how much weight you've thrown in there. At least you'll have a general idea.
Yes.
But if you're towing something and you don't know what the weight of that thing
you
is,
need to know.
It's a bad idea.
You should. And now you can distribute it properly and safely.
So, yes.
So that's very, very cool. So, dude, let's wrap up this episode. I think, a lot of cool things coming. You know what's coming in May? We're gonna get several brand new trucks, both half tons and heavy duties. And you know how we get often questions, which truck should I buy, a half ton or a heavy duty?
We get that a lot.
We're going to actually put them through a battery of tests and find out.
And on top of all that, we're also doing Ike Gauntlets. That's coming back. Yes. So we
Gold Hitch.
The Gold Hitch Award. Yeah. So we're doing the Ikes. We're doing the Gold Hitch. That is coming. I know a lot of you guys were asking when it's going to start happening again. We've been waiting for the weather, and we've been waiting for truck bakers to actually give us trucks. Chip shortage and everything else with COVID has slowed everything down. You know what else is happening to me?
What?
I'm going on vacation.
What?
I'm so happy. This is like my first vacation in 2 years.
I know. You haven't had a vacation in a long time.
New Orleans, baby. I am so happy.
New Orleans?
New Orleans. And you and I are going to talk after this broadcast because I have questions for you.
Yeah, I actually went there like 3 years ago with my wife. And it was really cool.
Far out. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, thank you guys, as always, for joining us. Stay tuned for more episodes of TFL Talking Trucks because soon we're also going to have... we're going to talk about the Hummer EV.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about something that's kind of controversial, which is possible fuel shortage in this summer. There's some news about that.
Yeah, so you got chip shortage, you got fuel shortage, you have rubber shortage, you have backup, you have COVID.
But you know what shortage you don't have? TFL.
Damn right. We're going to do tons of videos, guys, whether you like it or not.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
We'll see you later. Thanks.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.